My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, it's good to talk to you after a very busy week here in Washington, and you're also having a very busy week out west in Colorado.
I certainly am. I'm speaking to a group out here of political activists at the beautiful Broadmoor Hotel in bucolic Colorado Springs. As I sit here, I watch the snow dusting this area very nicely.
Wow. Life is tough for John Gizzi to be at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs this week. And John, let's talk about some news that actually is pretty difficult from near home and all the way around the world, really. It's been a pretty difficult week on a number of fronts. Let's start on the world stage. We obviously documented what happened in Egypt. We've also watched what happened in Tunisia and the ongoing unrest in Bahrain and Yemen and elsewhere. Now, obviously, the main focal point is Libya due to the huge progress made by the rebels there. And perhaps most alarmingly, the major crackdown on these demonstrators by Colonel Gaddafi, and basically saying they're all rats who deserve to die. He's going to fight to the last drop of blood. And to this point, we haven't heard much from the administration. What's your sense on how this has been handled and how this is likely to play out?
Well, once again, the events of the Middle East that began with the fruit peddler who set himself on fire in Tunisia and sparked a revolution that hasn't stopped are unpredictable. People like us, Greg, can only report about what happens today and speculate about what will happen tomorrow. And of course, we have the age-old complaint brought back again that while our high-tech intelligence gathering is second to none, our on-the-ground intelligence gathering, particularly in the Middle East, is light years behind. That is a problem. No one expected things to develop this way. As it looks right now, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi, whom Ronald Reagan once called the Mad Dog of the Middle East, is living up to the nickname. He said he'll fight to the last person. All signs are that his army is deserting and joining the rebels, and that as they converge on Tripoli, which the Gaddafi forces still control, the colonel may well end up like Nicolae Ceausescu, found and executed for all of the things he did during a reign of 42 bloody years. As to what comes next, we don't know. I asked White House Press Secretary Jay Carney about who the Libyan opposition groups are that the administration is dealing with, and he just simply referred me to the State Department. After Gaddafi's been in so long, it's unclear who's out there. I note with interest that the rebels, when they take a city, they put up the pre-Gaddafi flag of the former Libyan monarchy under King Idris.
Let's turn to a much less bloody situation, but certainly a heated situation, and that's in Madison, Wisconsin. We're seeing similar fights play out in Ohio and Indiana and other states around the country, John, and that's this fight over budget cuts that not only require unions to contribute more to their pensions and health benefits, but also basically take away collective bargaining rights. The governor there, Scott Walker, and his allies say this is absolutely essential if you're going to bring costs under control. We still have the 14 state Senate Democrats on the lam. The state assembly has approved this plan, but it obviously is in limbo until the Democrats come back or layoffs start happening, since there is a deadline coming up here very soon. What's your sense on how that'll play out?
Well, again, Democrats are not doing themselves any favor. They could run the clock out by not being present in the Senate and going into hiding. And if they do so, they will pay very dearly at the polls. The Rasmussen survey showed that 71% of the Badger State voters approve of the course that Governor Walker has taken. And it never looks good when someone will not face the music and cast votes that have to be cast, that may be unpopular, but must be done. My guess is that in the end, the state police will find just enough of the AWOL Democratic senators to bring them back, and there will be a vote. As for it spreading in Indiana and Ohio, I note that some of the Republican leaders there, including the governors, are pulling back a little bit. There was a bill to outlaw collective bargaining outright in Ohio, and now its supporters are backing off on that a little bit. Nonetheless, this is an issue that's going to continue on and spill over into the 2012 election. Whether public sector employees have the right to strike and to leave the public without the services. And it's an age-old fight. I note that many people are quoting another Republican governor who stood up to striking policemen and said, there is no right to strike against the public safety any place, any time. Governor Calvin Coolidge of Massachusetts.
John, let's move on to the federal level now. And this is basically the week of the calm before the storm, since it's President's Day week and a recess is in effect. But next week, this time next week, if there's no agreement on a continuing resolution or a budget plan for the rest of the fiscal year, at least certain parts of the federal government will be shutting down. This seems to be a game of government chicken. The Republicans in the House passed their plan last week. The Senate Democrats, who are in control of that chamber, say that's not going to happen. Obama says the same thing. John Boehner now putting forth a pretty modest, it would seem, minor continuing resolution, but even that's not being received well. So will we have a functioning government a week from today?
Well, one has to remember that when the government shuts down, we start talking about essential and non-essential service, something that drives most of the government employees I know to distraction, because how many people want to be referred to as non-essential on their jobs? I'm not going to get into that right now, but I do note this, that the Republican majority in the House, over one-third of it, are people who were elected last November for the first time. In contrast to the last Republican Congress, the Gingrich Congress of 1994, these people, for the most part, are absolutely willing to shut the government down unless they get some very significant commitments, like greater cuts on the budget, a balanced budget amendment, a promise to put entitlements such as Medicare and Medicaid on the table, and a dramatic change in the way Washington does business. If not, as Congressman Joe Walsh said, we're going to do what we have to do, and that means go through a government shutdown. I might add that with the strength of the Tea Party movement right now, most of the freshman members I've talked to do not fear political retribution at home.
We'll find out, I guess. John, last topic before we let you go. The president has been less than committal on his position on the definition of marriage in the last couple of years, his official personal position that it should just be a man and a woman. But, of course, he championed the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And he's actually said for a while he didn't like the Defense of Marriage Act. Now he and Attorney General Holder have decided they're just not going to enforce it anymore. Haven't heard much backlash on this either from congressional Republicans, will we?
Except there's one other part to this story that's not reported in a very big way. When White House Press Secretary Jay Carney announced the administration was no longer going to defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court on advice of the Justice Department, he said this does not rule out, and in fact it opens up the avenue for other groups to step in and do the legal defense of it. And I received a number of tweets from family associations and family advocates who said they would feel a lot better with their attorneys handling the case than the Obama Holder Justice Department lawyers doing so.
The allegation being that they didn't really want to win, so they were basically throwing the case at the lower levels of the federal court system, correct?
Well, in boxing, it's known as taking a dive, and that's what they were certainly implying at this point. I might add that the president and his spokesman have always said that this is an issue on which he's making a continuing review, and he's always held open the possibility that, very much like Bill Clinton and other Democratic politicians, he could change his view on the issue of marriage. We'll find out in some time, I think.
Interesting that Bill Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act back in 1996. John, enjoy your time out in Colorado. We'll talk to you next week.
As I watch the snow and look forward to my day at the Broadmoor and wish it would stretch into a long weekend, I'm John Gizzi in Colorado.
John Gizzi is political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America.